Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us here this afternoon. It's been a fun show. We've had a busy show. We had Jack Posobiec on at the beginning, and he was talking about his new book that he has out called Bulletproof. I was upset on humans. That's the one that he released just a little bit before. And that's a really good book, too. I'm about halfway through that one. Isn't it amazing that Donald Trump was shot this summer and this guy somehow or another got on? Remember the sloped roof thing? Remember the sloped roof?
Yes.
Did you see Secret Service on the sloped roof when they went back?
There were Congress people walking around up there.
Did you see the, I mean, this is hard to like laugh at because both situations are so tragic, but did you see in the wake of Hurricane Helene, there was like a cow or a horse standing on a sloped roof, like surrounded by water?
No, I did not see that. But I believe it. But it slipped
damning.
Off immediately, right?
Huh?
It slipped off immediately. Couldn't stand.
No,
right?
It was just hanging out there
really?
Waiting to be rescued, and it was.
Wow. Great.
I look at the McDonald's visit by Donald Trump. I just think that's the gift that keeps on giving for Donald Trump. 100% win. A+. Any doubt about that?
No. I wasn't here Monday, and I was not paying attention to the news. We were traveling. That broke through, though. That was everywhere.
Did you see it on Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, it was, you couldn't avoid it. If you were on your phone or anything, it was there.
We've seen Trump and J.D. Vance and Kamala Harris. I don't know if Tim Walz done many podcasts? I feel like he hasn't.
That's a good question. I can't think of any that he has done.
Kamala Harris has done some podcasts. I'm not really familiar with the podcast she goes on, per se. Well, I mean, I know who Charlamagne the God is. She talked to Howard Stern. They're, like, Howard Stern is beside himself that this isn't a blowout. Howard Stern thinks that people like you and me are anti-American, bigoted rubes. That the existence of people who are as dumb, uninformed, or hateful as people like you and me who would vote for Donald Trump, like, he's disgusted at the thought. I'm going back to, I asked you if you'd seen Wonka, and you said you had seen Wonka.
The new one.
You haven't.
No.
This is like such a small amount of people maybe listening who have seen it. If you haven't seen it, absolutely watch it. You'll love it. But there's this part in Wonka where it's very much the haves and have nots, which is a story about the haves and have nots. And there's these three, they're like the three bad guys, and they're the haves. They're the rich, wealthy people, whatever. And one of them can't even stand audibly the sound of the word poor.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh so much because he starts to say, and he's like, and then he can't get it out. And then the person behind him says something poor, and he goes, and like, there's a running joke through the film where every time the word poor comes up, he's somewhere like dry heaving in the background. To me, that's the Howard Stern visceral reaction to people like you and me.
I'm fine with that. And
yeah.
I'll tell you why. It's not because I enjoy being hated. It's one of those weird things that when people come up to you, go, how do you work in conservative media? People, you know, it's like you got to just have thicker skin. You just do. But these celebrities and these influencers, they are cashing in everything they've got on this guy. Where do they go from here?
I don't know. The book's about to be complete.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find a new story.
It is. And that's what's amazing is you've done everything you could for almost, you know, at the end of this, it'll be, what, 12 years? And there's nothing left. Like, you can't use any more hyperbole than you already have. So going into a possible 4 more years of Donald Trump, they've just lost their influence. And that's okay, because they've done that to themselves.
And when you watch Donald Trump walk into that McDonald's and they're like, oh, right, this way, sure. He's like, should I take my coat off? And they're like, sure. So he takes his navy blue coat off. He puts on the apron, the red tie, and the white crisp dress shirt stays. And then he goes in front of the fryer and he listens to this person. And he is flawless. He hits it, not a home run. It's a World Series winning grand slam at the exact right point of this election and this campaign. He goes and shows all the haters those people who can't control themselves. They've got this burning fire inside of them. And it just bleh, goes out and it just spews over, you know, their keyboards onto your social media feeds. And they never miss an opportunity to explain to you how much they detest Donald Trump by trying to apply their absolute mental disgust for another human being onto you. The projection is wild. And the funny thing is, here we are, 3 3/4 of the way through Kamala Harris's current time in the Oval Office with the president, Joe Biden, who is who knows where, he doesn't even know. She has power. Everybody wants change. The consideration of Donald Trump coming back into play has never been more attractive than it is in this moment in time. Because now those people who are so repulsed by the vision of Donald Trump's orangish skin and fluffy blonde hair and the navy suit that always looks on point and the white shirt that is clean and crisp as can be and this beautiful crimson tie, they see it. And they can't help themselves. They just need you to hate them so much. And you're like, whoa, dude. Like, there are people in this world that I don't like, but are you okay? Like, I'm not a hugger. Do you need a hug? And they take it so seriously. These people are so serious that you can't take them seriously. They take themselves so seriously that they are unserious people. Because nothing matters. If Donald Trump loses this election and Kamala Harris wins the presidency, these people will be as unhappy on Wednesday yeah. as they are today. There's no change in their level of mental stability because they will still know that Donald Trump is on the face of the planet, that Donald Trump made an impact on the future of this country and the history of this country that will never be changed, and they don't know what to do with that. Imagine being mid-December and Kamala Harris wins the election and Donald Trump is still the first thought you have in your mind. I'm sorry, not sorry. That sucks. I'm sorry. I feel for those people, but what could possibly be done for them?
I do, too. I actually do feel for those people. I feel bad because when you're that, I hate to even use the word because I do feel bad for them, but when you're that deranged, it's like,
it's pity.
How do you help? How do you help somebody? And it's not as if there's not crazies on both sides of the aisle, but when you have somebody that is that easily triggered by the crimson tie, you know, all the things you just listed, it does make you feel bad. And I want to make clear, too, that it is okay. Howard Stern is in shock that people could have a different worldview from him. That is okay.
It's wild to me because we've all lived the same existence that yeah. Howard Stern has.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
I mean, I sometimes am in shock.
I, for the record, have never been there.
I sometimes have been there where I am in awe that somebody could actually believe in communism. Or believe in the things around it that are leading to it, even if you don't see it for communism, for what it is. But I don't hate those people.
No.
And I don't go crazy
you
when I meet them.
Disagree with them.
Yes. And I, you know, it's not as if I see a Kamala Harris sign and I'm going to drive my car over it. You know, these are crazy things that people are doing, and it shows where you're at mentally.
In the world of these seriously unserious people that eat, sleep, breathe Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump has no bigger fans than these people. They need him. It's a weird place to be. They're so serious. They're taking everything so seriously. And then J.D. Vance goes on the Theo Von This Past Weekend podcast.
I don't know if I'd be sober if the stuff weren't killing people, to be honest with you. I know that's sad to say, but that keeps me out of the risk of it. You know, it just makes it too...
Makes it a little scarier.
Yeah, that's the thing. It makes it scarier.
Yeah.
But it's also sad that somebody, I mean, this is ridiculous to say probably, that somebody can't, you know, you can't even do cocaine in this country anymore, you know? And that seems like a crazy thing to say, and... Don't say that. I said it. But don't say that anymore.
I'm going to steal that line. After the election, though, man.
No.
We got to win first.
It's unfortunate.
So I listened to probably 2/3 of this podcast last night. It was like over 2 hours long. So I got through as much as I could before bedtime called. But while all of this seriousness is taking place, Theo Von, which if you've never watched, we talked a lot about the Donald Trump interview that Theo Von did, and we played some of those clips. I mean, this guy does and says things the way nobody else is doing it. And I was kind of explaining this before the show when I was talking with Ethan about it. Like, the Theo Von way of interviewing, all of the stops and obstacles that should go in front of a guy like Theo Von to be like, you need to find something else, dude. This isn't your thing. He leapt over all of those, and now he is in his own lane, like a shining star. And I cannot stop watching because he is incredibly smart. He is incredibly witty. He's incredibly quick. But he also is super, like, normal. I think people see Theo Von and, like, you know the person in your life who is like that. There's a lovability about Theo Von that makes you want to hear what he's going to do next, what he's going to say in front of a senator, a United States senator, potentially the vice president of the United States. And he's like saying, you know, you can't even do cocaine in America anymore. Again, going back to the conversation we had about Tim Walz calling Elon Musk a dip sugar because he was bouncing around on the stage. When Elon Musk has Asperger's, he's on the autism spectrum, and you've got Tim Walz up there making fun of somebody who is well known to be on the spectrum. When Tim Walz himself has a special needs kid, Tim Walz's kid, he has that what I consider to be 100% appropriate bubble around him that should protect him from the consequences of his dad running for office. A common reaction to that is, Annie, they didn't treat Barron like that. No, but they should have. And we should be, yes, better than they are and not go after some kid because his reaction was a little out of the ordinary of what you're normally used to seeing because he has a condition. But Tim Walz, this kid's father, will make fun of Asperger's Elon Musk, who's open and honest about his condition, will make fun of his behavior on the stage. Like I said, Tim Walz, you should be absolutely ashamed of yourself. But in the same instance, you've got the president of the United States, whose son is probably the most famous coke user in the country right now. You had Hunter Biden was telling Good Morning America or somebody that he's snorted Parmesan cheese out of hotel carpets
on the floor.
Like,
that's right.
Like he has been so outward and forward about this that what you have here is Theo Von in his Theo Von way talking to J.D. Vance, who famously came from dirt poor circumstances in Ohio with a mother who was an absolute addict. And he was raised by his mamma, isn't that what he called her?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Raised by his mamma because his mother was derelict in her addiction problems and has now, he told the story, it was a very heartwarming story where he talks about where his mother is in his life right now and how wonderful that has come full circle. But the truth of the story there is Theo Von is bringing into the conversation something that is important, that fentanyl, because of China, has made its way into drugs that they were talking about. Listen, when my mom was an addiction and she got on the wagon and she decided to become sober and you fall off the wagon, and Theo Von is celebrating sobriety right now, but he said he's been on and off the wagon before. He said, J.D. Vance is like, you know, in the saddest of possible ways, what fentanyl has done for this to this country, to the Americans in this country, what fentanyl has done has limited the amount of times that you can seek sobriety and fall off the wagon. Because when you fall off the wagon and fentanyl is in play, you're dead. And it doesn't matter if it's a one-time mistake. If something gets laced that you take in, fentanyl is killing people. And you're not allowed to make any mistakes anymore in this before fentanyl, the way people would be able to kind of go in and out of sobriety. It's a very difficult and challenging thing to do. And it's always important to know that you can always get back on the wagon again and that people will embrace you in doing that. They're having a real serious conversation in a somewhat unserious way, but it's important. And people relate to that. People hear that and they understand it. And it means something to people because it's real. Kamala Harris is incapable of that. She hasn't had a single moment that I can think of, and I'd be happy to admit I was wrong, like say, oh yeah, I can kind of see that one. She has not had a single moment in this campaign, or one I can think of in a campaign she's been in before or as vice president, where she showed true, honest Kamala Harris humanity.
Yeah, and if you put aside policy for a second, which we tend to not do, but when you watch that with Theo Von, and he's interviewed Trump now and Vance, but he's just watching Vance there. It humanizes people. You get past all the glitz, the signs, the talking points, and you just listen to somebody talk, and you go, "Oh, they're actually pretty normal." And that's bipartisan. That's what's amazing is that there are Democrat politicians. I have watched them on podcasts. I'll even name Gavin Newsom's one of them. If you watch him on a podcast, he actually comes across as somebody who just seems like a dude. Totally fine.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama's another one. They just
except
seem
for
like
when he's
people.
Trying to be Eminem. Like, you don't need to do that.
That was a little weird. they just seem like people. And that's great. That's actually great for the country. Bipartisan. But you're right. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz can't really do that. And they've tried. They've been on podcasts. Everybody's, oh my gosh, I can't believe Kamala went on the Who's Your Daddy podcast or whatever that was. The Call Me Daddy. What, I don't even remember the name of it. But it was apparently this big podcast.
I don't think it's Who's Your Daddy.
You watch it.
But if that title is open, I think that's what you should call your podcast.
I will. And it'll be basically just Maury Povich.
Call Her Daddy.
Call Her Daddy. Thank you,
Ethan.
Thank you.
From the fact-checking nook.
She went on that podcast, and there were leftist influencers that were grabbing the best ofs, and you were like, man, it's just not very good.
It's not good.
And
it's
that's pure performance. Good. That's not policy. That's just hang out. Have a beer.
Everybody knows what it's like when you meet a genuine person. And being a genuine person looks different with every single person.
Absolutely.
But you can tell when you're being sold or when you're meeting a new human being. You're connecting with the new soul. You can tell. And America is trying to be sold right now. Going back to that woman on that MSNBC thing, like, you're going to tell us to vote for 4 more years of this? Are you crazy? God, yeah. I hope that we're not. Let's take a quick break. The YouTube live chat poll, does January 6th influence your vote? Yes, in a major way. Yes, in a minor way, or no influence at all. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come say hi over there. If you've never said hi before, we want to meet you. On the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can vote on that poll in the live chat. We'll be back after this.
It would be interesting to hear his perspective on a lot of things. I would like to know, what is it like when you actually get into office? I would like to know things like, what is it like versus perception?
Yeah.
What is it actually like when you get in that building? What is the machine that runs this country? Because it's very clear that it's not as simple as elected representatives that are doing the will of the people. It's not.
Joe Rogan is going to host Donald Trump Friday on his podcast, the most listened to podcast in the world. Definitely in the country.
Let's say the world.
In the universe.
In the universe, really, yeah.
That sounds like a Jim Carafano endorsement of the show.
Well, I don't know about Martian podcasts.
Galaxy?
Again, Martians.
The Martians.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be huge for Donald Trump to go on to this podcast. And you've got Joe Rogan talking about, like, what's it like to be the president of the United States? Like, what's it like to really be in there? I mean, you're still a human being doing all the normal human being things, but you're the president of the United States. Do you know what this is? This is a massive effort at humanizing Donald Trump. This is a huge problem for Kamala Harris. If it's executed the way I anticipate that it will be.
Yeah. The questions he's even teasing in that clip, I want to hear the answers to those questions. Because some of them are just kind of like, what's it like? You're a person. What's it like when you get in there? But also, there's some real deep state questions he sounds like he's about to ask about who's really running the show. And I think Trump is the kind of guy that would relish answering those questions. Because you're not really going to get those questions if you do a town hall. You know, that's a podcast question.
What do you mean? What do you make of all of these stories that are surfacing right now? The Atlantic reported that one of the people in Trump's administration was talking about how Trump like admired Hitler's generals or something.
Oh,
Kelly said that about the generals. I don't know if that was the Atlantic, because there was also an Atlantic story about like Donald Trump getting mad about a funeral cost.
That other thing. And the family has come out and been like, do not talk about her this way. We voted for Trump. We love him. He was generous with his time. There's a lot of things that are just being peppered right now in the media to see if anything gets some legs and makes a difference. Here's what I think. If you've got this, I'm looking at quantity right now over quality. I'm sure that there are October surprises in the pockets of each campaign, and they're waiting for the right opportune time to put them into motion. But are you telling me that you've hated Donald Trump for this long, but you waited till October 23rd of 2024 to be like, oh, and he liked Hitler's generals? Like,
yeah.
And another thing, I don't believe you. And I know what the military people who we talk, gosh, if you go back and listen to the Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg interview that we did earlier this week, and you talk about how he knows Donald Trump on an incredibly personal level, working with him person to person towards the same goals. And he told a story about how I thought I'd say this right now. Lindsey Graham looks like J.D. Vance is looking through a window behind him. I thought that's what was happening right now on Fox News. I was like, what is he doing back there? Sorry, this is a total distracting moment. Steve's going to talk to us about that later.
But you can see it if I move my camera.
Yeah, for sure, on the YouTube Live. I just don't understand how you get to this point in the process of the campaign, and you've got like this one other thing, this one other card you're going to play. It would be a big deal if Donald Trump was like, but you know those Hitler generals, and he was going to go out there and defend that. You've got Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg on this show specifically, just off the cuff, telling an anecdote of during COVID. The general is in the Oval Office with Trump, and Trump says, I just want everybody to be okay. And Kellogg says, go down there and say that to the press and the cameras right now. And he goes, I can't, and show weakness. That is as Trump as it gets. That is as Trump as it gets. I believe that wholeheartedly. He didn't know I was going to ask the question about what it's like to look at Donald Trump hanging out of a drive-through McDonald's window, knowing the things that he's seen Donald Trump. He's told other stories. Kellogg has told other stories on this show before about the BA-ness of Donald Trump and his willingness to lead with strength. And then he's serving French fries at McDonald's. I'm like, can these possibly be the same people? And he said, 100%.
This is General John Kelly that has come out and say this. Now there was also some, I think it was John Kelly, actually, the Atlantic article, and this is separate from what you were talking about, Brad, but remember back when, this is probably, it might have been 2020, where apparently the story was that Donald Trump was riding through France and he saw a bunch of American tombstones.
Didn't want to go to the cemetery.
And he said, nah, that's full of suckers and losers, was the quote that the Atlantic went with. 25 people in the entourage with the president all said, that didn't happen. We were all there, but one guy said it. I think it was John Kelly. Same guy. And they said, well, it must be true. Think about that in any other context. If you have 26 to 27 witnesses, and one of them says one thing, and the other 25 say another thing, who do you believe?
Well, here's the other thing, too. I mean, the answer to that is obviously, you don't believe Kelly. And this guy is a loser a-hole who hates Trump.
Yes, he does.
Doesn't like what Trump has done to his reputation. And these people, their reputation and ego is everything. And Trump's not excluded from that category. His ego and his reputation is everything to him. But here's the thing about the suckers and losers thing that really, really gets under my skin. If you believe everybody else who was there who said that did not happen, it's been debunked multiple times. If you believe that everybody else said that did not happen, then, in essence, John Kelly had the wherewithal to come up with the idea that those people were suckers and losers. So John Kelly called them suckers and losers. John Kelly is the one who put the idea out into the world that these people in this military cemetery are suckers and losers. That came out of his head. It is a sick and twisted thought. The problem here is that it's John Kelly's sick and twisted thought. It's not Donald Trump's. And you've been so, like, open your eyes, people. You've been sold over and over and over again on lies that the lapdog media is willfully just serving and spewing over and over and over again because they've got something to gain by Trump not being there. There's something Donald Trump isn't willing to do for them that the current status quo is willing to do for them. And if you set all of that stuff aside and you just look at what is it like to live in Donald Trump's America? What is it like to live in the Biden-Harris America? You know the answer to that one. It's an obvious answer. It's an obvious pro-Trump answer. There's something that Donald Trump, some kind of access, some sort of knowledge, there's something that Donald Trump has There's some sort of America first mentality that Donald Trump leads with that these people are repulsed by and are so afraid of taking over again. And I, for one, am desperate to see what they are so scared of. And we'll never know if Donald Trump doesn't win the election.
Yeah, Kelly has some serious credibility problems because of the things that I was just mentioning. But this article also, the line that people are quoting a lot from it is that, well, Trump wanted the kind of generals that Hitler had. That is not even from Kelly. That is from Atlantic's two unidentified sources.
Yep.
So again, like, this is the same stuff. It's the we've been watching it for 12 years or whatever now, the same playbook over and over and over again. And it's funny because Trump is so unfiltered when he speaks to you that you can picture more random things that he says. So it sounds kind of like, oh, maybe, but there's no credibility to the people saying it. So I guess it's kind of like double-edged sword. If you're going to be that honest with people and that kind of off the cuff, you come off as somebody who just would say random stuff. He does come off that way. But these reports have no credibility.
The Atlantic tweeted out, this is the quote that they have from Jeffrey Goldberg's reporting. I need the kind of generals that Hitler had. Trump's obsession with dictators and disdain for America's military are deepening. That's what they put out on the Atlantic X account. Myra, is it Guillen, probably? The sister to the service person who passed away retweeted the Atlantic article and said, wow, I don't appreciate how you are exploiting my sister's death for politics. Hurtful and disrespectful to the important changes she made for service members. President Donald Trump did nothing but show respect to my family and Vanessa. In fact, I voted for President Trump today. I mean, that's game, set, match for me. And for anybody who needs, it's like a drug. For anybody who needs, you just need the next hit. You don't need it to be true in 3 weeks. You don't care about 3 weeks. You are craving hard that next hit of copium from hating Donald Trump, of investing your next brain cell activity into why what you thought you knew about Donald Trump is real. And these losers at the Atlantic, these deceivers. I have thought in the last week that I am seeing evil on display more than I've seen it in my lifetime. Sometimes I feel like I can see it in people's eyes. There is an aggressive evil that exists out there. And it's taking shape in a political campaign, and it's working really hard on people's emotions. It's working really hard on trying to make you feel a way that is not going to be conducive to a peaceful America in the future. We have to be willing to call it out when we see it. You have to be able to look it straight in the face and call it out when you see it. Let's take a quick break and get results of the YouTube poll. When we come back, does January 6th influence your vote? Major influence, minor influence, or no influence? What do you think? Let us know on the Andy Fry YouTube channel. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. You guys know how close Christmas is. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for Christmas right now. Yeah, I saw a holiday lights sign the other day, and I'm like, yes!
63 days!
Great.
The election's here in 13 days. It's going to be here. Boom. We are 63 days of knowing who the president's going to be on Christmas Day.
Wow. That's crazy.
All at one time. Thank you for saying that the way you would in a toy commercial on Nickelodeon.
Like if
wow,
I was.
Wow. That's crazy.
Like if I was scared by a little kid's like bug set, you know, and they like set the bug on dad's chair and he goes, ah.
Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa, a bug. You could eat those? Those are gummies?
Did you have a toy that you ever saw in a commercial that you really wanted to have and got?
Oh my gosh, yes.
What is it?
It was the game Mousetrap.
Oh yeah. Mousetrap never delivered the way it looked on television.
No, it never did. It looked like it was going to be a blast.
Did you ever play a game of Mousetrap?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's stupid.
I don't even really remember how you play it, because don't you build it as you play it?
I don't remember. I remember that you go around a board and the gameplay itself is as dull as can be.
I think we just put it together and played with it.
Yeah, that's all you do. But here's the deal. and I think I've told this story once before because it was a very, very important moment for my childhood. When I was a kid, my friend Corey had a mouse trap that was probably pre his birth. Like somebody had gotten it and given it to him. And I'm like, wow, that version of mousetrap is amazing. And so I told my parents, I want Santa to bring me that version of mousetrap, not the new one in the store. I want that one. And my parents told me they weren't sure that that could happen. And I'm like, just tell Santa.
Yeah.
And then that morning, I got the new version of mousetrap. And I was a little disappointed that they didn't communicate my specific instructions to Santa. They just probably said mousetrap.
Yeah. I remember mousetrap specifically. I remember the little marble. I remember the cup thing that turned over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know there was
a marble that went downstairs kind of sideways.
Did it go into zigzag. Like a little cart or something like that?
So.
That maybe dumped into...
Yeah.
We should get one.
Was the purpose of mousetrap to catch the mouse or were you the mouse?
I have no idea.
Your game piece was the mouse.
That's what I thought. So you're trying to get away from the trap?
But it's not built when you start. It's like, why are we building this?
I got a lot of flaws.
Let's just roll the dice and get to the end.
The storytelling does not make much sense.
Have you ever played it, Ethan?
No. Have no idea what you're talking about.
You never heard of it?
Nope.
God dang it.
You ever heard of Milton Bradley?
Yes.
Mattel?
Yeah, he's a new salesperson.
Probably, yeah.
Milton Bradley, the baseball player?
Well, that's where my mind went first, actually.
Anything else that you ever saw on TV and, like, had to have? Wait, did Ethan, as a youngin', did you grow up watching toy commercials on TV?
Yes, okay. I definitely did. I'm trying to remember back if there were any that I was, like, super in on wanting but never getting. I don't know. I'm going to have to keep thinking about
Brad,
this.
Did you have one?
There's a couple things. Do you guys remember GAC?
Yeah, it smelled.
The
I can smell it right now.
That was one thing that
I just...
Make
some serious fart noises with some GAC.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Push it in there.
That was one thing that I really, really wanted and I ended up getting. The other thing was, is I think it was called the Typhoon. It was a hovercraft remote control thing. And the commercial's like, it can go anywhere over any surface. You're watching it go over water and through dirt and all that stuff. And we got it and we were playing with it and it can't go over water.
It hit a clump of grass.
It hit a clump of grass. It went in. We had a little pool and it went over the pool and then slowly sunk in the pool and then we ruined it.
Okay. The Crossfire commercial.
Oh.
That was incredible.
What was Crossfire?
Crossfire was a game.
Would you shoot marbles at the little spinny things?
You shot marbles at little token things and you tried to push them into your player's gutter, like the opposite side.
Joseph gives us some context here and says, Mousetrap, you were a mouse, but you built the trap to try and catch other mice.
Oh, okay. So it was like a cannibalism kind of game.
This is, to me, it sounds a lot like socialists who are like, no, it's just socialism for other people. Here, build your trap.
Yeah.
You'll catch them, not you.
You're building mouse traps as a mouse still.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about the message.
Should have called it just trap.
Yeah.
With a wink wink.
Yeah, and had people.
That would make so much more sense. It wouldn't make any less sense. I had a water baby. I know you're boys, but do you remember water babies?
My sister had a water baby.
Did they have water in them?
Once you put it in there, yeah. They felt a little more realistic.
They kind of wobbled
but
around.
All I remembered was it was very difficult to fill them with water because of like the rubber material, whatever they were made with. You'd have to like squish them in weird ways to get the water to go in, and then you'd have to plug the belly button real quick, which is where the water went in.
Yeah.
But you could, like they'd lay there. This is radio, so you can't see this, but their arms were out. And their legs were kind of, I mean, just like kind of the way a baby would lay if you just laid a baby down or whatever. But you could squeeze its hips together like that, and it would just go like this.
And flap.
Flopping around.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. I just remember being like, doing that to it a lot and then being like, I'm going to go outside.
Feed me.
Were you around dolls much?
Parrot?
Did you have action figures, also known as boy dolls?
So my neighbor had a lot of Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ninja Turtles are great.
Those were great. But I didn't have hardly any, and he had so many that I would actually buy them and give them to him to complete his collection.
You're not doing this right.
What a guy.
I know, right?
This guy's running some major corporation right now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. He was like, you know what you should do? You should buy toys for me. And I'm like, okay.
That sounds like a great idea.
Mom, can I get more allowance? I want to buy Mikey toys. But he did
have... If you do your chores, Ryan.
He did have all of them. And so anytime a new one would come out, if his mom wouldn't buy it, I would lobby to get it because it felt like we played so often that it felt like we had the whole collection together. And then eventually he left and he took all his Ninja Turtles with him. And I was left just there in the dust waiting. It was like a little orphan.
I dipped out of that, what your comment was real quick there, and then when it came back, it had gotten dark.
So you're comparing not having, your friend leaving you to being an orphan.
Well, in a way.
Or not having a toy.
I was more picturing like the Oliver Twist version of an orphan. So not like a modern orphan, but like just tattered clothes.
It's like they broke up.
Standing in the wind, you know.
Is it cloudy?
Listening to Creed. Like, it was just, yeah. It was like very arid.
I almost said, look at this photograph, and then I realized.
That's not Creed.
That's not
Creed.
Right.
No.
Same genre. I wanted to read this comment from Twitch.
Oh, hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Hi, Twitch. On our YouTube live chat poll, does January 6th influence your vote? Major influence, minor influence, or no influence? Ethan will give us the results here in a minute. Barbados says, January 6th is like the little brother complaining that their sibling is touching them in the back seat of the car. Yeah, it was dumb, but it could have been so much worse. It was full insurrection. If it was a full insurrection, there would have been so many more people dead. It's just blown way out of proportion by the left. I think that's kind of an interesting way to look at it. When you look at videos of what took place on January 6th, there are videos that can be stitched together with some emotionally driving music and colorized in a way that makes it look a lot more ominous. You could also make a like mostly peaceful protest that CNN had in front of, was that Wisconsin, where they were, was that Kenosha maybe?
It might have been Kenosha.
Where there was fire blazing in a building behind, and they're like, it's a mostly peaceful protest here in Wisconsin. And, you know, like, it's just framing. That maybe there were peaceful places in Wisconsin. I don't know why they put that chyron on in front of the burning building.
Well, they did say it was fiery. It's fiery. Well, it's mostly peaceful.
Well, and they said it was mostly peaceful. They must have been like, off camera. Yeah. It appears to be mostly peaceful over there.
Yeah.
And then Leslie Nielsen saying,
in the background,
pay no attention.
Yeah.
Please disperse. But with January 6th, there was so much peaceful protesting taking place. And then it turns into something else. But even in the Capitol, people are like wandering around like they're on a tour.
Mm. Oh, yeah. A lot of them were staying within the velvet ropes.
Yeah. And being asked to leave and leaving when they were being asked to leave.
Yeah, this is pretty. All right. We'll go ahead and go on in, I guess, if everyone else is. This is kind of cool.
It's a scenario where you can take a specific clip and apply it to the whole of the event and be very deceiving in the way you're doing it. And the deceit is intentional. Ethan, you want to go ahead and give us the results to today's YouTube live chat poll?
379 votes for does January 6th influence your vote? 89% say no influence, 7% say major influence, and then just 3% saying a minor influence.
And I'm in the minor influence category just because of how major of an influence it is for the left. I want the facts. I want the truth. Or at least, if we don't even get that, I'd like the other side. I'd like the perspective.
And I'm in the no influence category because I am always in the majority.
This is the first time you've been in the majority. Jack Posobiec on in the 12 o'clock hour. Great to have him on to talk about his book, Bulletproof. Make sure you listen to the Annie Fry Show podcast, wherever you get your podcast from, to hear what you missed on the show today. But the Mark Rudin Show, up next.